if we want to take our art forms and specifically poetry and make it financially viable, what I'm about to say, I almost hesitate because it sounds like I'm diminishing the value, but I'm not. We need to look at the poetry not as the cake, but the icing. Meaning, in the poetry community, the poetry is everything. It's the whole meal, right? Mm-hmm. It's the cake, it's the icing, it's the ice cream, it's everything. But if you go into other business communities, they have cake, but they don't have icing. And so we can take our poetry and be the poetic icing on their dry cake and get paid phenomenally well because you just gave them flavor, flavor that they didn't have.
There it is. Their messaging, their marketing has been dry.
Introducing the Poet Life Podcast. Go check it out today on your favorite platforms, including iTunes, Apple Music, and the website, thepoetlife.com.
Hey, 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 it's Christoph Jenkins, founder and creator of The Poet Life, and obviously the host of the Poet Life Podcast. I need to introduce to some and reintroduce to others, you know, my co-host here that you will see in here periodically. Sean Smith, man, how are you today?
Fantastic.
Everything good with you?
Love on your being end? Here with you. Yes. Yes.
It's beautiful, man, because, you know, for those who are following us now and have been following us since we started, they know we took like a hiatus, if you will, from the podcast to focus on growing the business, right? Yeah. And not just doing the fun stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, you've been doing that, man. And that's not easy. It's not easy to create business from creativity.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that I've been really diving into for a couple of years now. And I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you for not only creating the business that you have and the commitment that you have, but leading the way for so many other poets. Because as hard as it is, it's 10 times more needed, right? For creators, poets specifically, storytellers, to get their voice out. So,
yeah,
you know, finding a way to make it work financially and in business, you know, I'm not trying to shame anybody, but it's almost like an obligation for the planet, right? Like, these are the voices that need to be heard more.
Yeah.
And it's tough, but it's worth it.
Yeah. You know why? It's because it's tied to your purpose.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like we weren't given these gifts just to be given these gifts. Right? Like the gifts were purposefully meant for you to leverage the gifts for your purpose.
There you go. Yeah, they're not yours to keep. They're yours to give away.
Yeah, so I think that's a like a misnomer there, that I was given these gifts and they're mine.
That's huge. Yeah. We're given the vessel to share.
Yeah.
I think that's because what that does is it gives a flow through to our purpose, you know? So our purpose doesn't just lead us to a cul-de-sac with a dead end. Our purpose is just an on-ramp to a freeway. And what I've found is that when there's a flow through to our purpose, I'm learning this, I got to go through this so that I can teach, so that I can heal, so that I can tell stories. That flow through just gives a different fuel than when it's just for ourselves. Because if it's just for ourselves, then what we're being fueled by is ego.
Yeah.
Right. It's for me, for my benefit, so that I can enjoy. And that kind of ego fuel just doesn't drive creators and teachers as much as flow through does.
Yeah. So you're speaking of flow through, right? And if you're listening, if you're watching, but there's a process that goes through the flow through, meaning there's gift management.
Ha, love it.
Right? Like you have to, yes, hone the craft, the gift, get better at it and be an expert, you know, in relation to the gift. But here's the missing part. Often it doesn't become a flow. That flow becomes clogged if we don't learn the path way, right? You have the craft and you have the path, and most artists focus on the craft and they neglect the path, which is what sustains the flow of the gift, the business, the systems that allow the flow through to take place.
Yeah, with all the work that you do with poets specifically, what do you think is the reason for that? You know, I have my theories. I 100% agree. But what have you found?
So here's the situation. For decades, for centuries, since the beginning of time, you know, it has been the poetry community. And I've said this some times before. There's no money in a community unless it's a business community, right? You live in a community, you live in a neighborhood, and the only people making money in a community are those who are cutting grass and landscaping, right? If you think about it, you live in a community, but you wake up and then you leave your community and then go into an industry to make your money. Right. So we've been simply living and communing in a community and gathering, and we've been trying to dig in the community, looking for the treasure, looking for the money. That's the difference. And we have not said to ourselves, like the forefathers of rap did, there's no money in this rap community. We have to build the rap industry.
That's deep, man. I love that. That's like disruptive to think about, because what you're talking about is systemic change. And it's systemic change is the only thing that's really going to move the needle in any significant way, but it's always deep. And it always requires us to not do different, but think different first. And then once we think different, then we can do different.
Yep.
And I think that's just harder for, you know, for us to do, to change our thought patterns. And that's one of the reasons why we don't do it, because it's just easier.
Yeah.
You know, it's just easier to follow the path.
Yeah. But, you know, not only that, I mean, if you think about the few successful poets throughout the times, they've shared their art, but they did not share how they became successful. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No slight to them, more power to them, but we're just like, go. Thanks. Awesome. You're doing great. But no, how did you get there? Hey, we're back here trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's what was missing.
Yeah. And that's what I so appreciate about what you're doing is, you know, helping people change the systemic way that we think, and creativity is, you know, the creative mind is, it's just different than the intellectual mind, let's say. Not that, you know, creatives aren't intellects also, but, you know, to build a business requires a different thought process than to create lyrics and to tell stories.
Yes.
And so I think a lot of us just have one or the other mind stronger than, you know, we just worked on those muscles, right? Like everybody's skipping leg day, right? Like everybody's skipping right. business day when it comes to, you know, to creatively building a business. And it's, I think of it like, you know, like you're walking, right? You got one right leg and one left leg, mm-hmm. and they need to both be used. And so the analogy that's coming to me and visual as you're talking is that in the poetry community, most people are just hopping, right? Just hopping on one of their legs. And there's another facet to opportunity seeking and seeing where the money flow is. You know, I think I've been in business for almost 20 years, right? In primarily the life coaching speaking world. It is a creative space. It's not necessarily the level of creativity as poetry and, you know, storytelling and some other forms of creativity, but it still is a creative space. And they really, really struggle building business. And one of the reasons is because the creative mind that wants to tell the story is doing it quite often for cathartic reasons. You know, we want to get our message out. We want to make sense of what's going on in our lives. We want to turn our pain into a purpose. And those are very pure reasons to inspire other people. Mm. And if there's not a way to find where the money already is, then that creative purpose is just going to fall flat. And I think that piece to find where the money already is, like creativity is building something that doesn't currently exist. So the creative mind, if the creative mind says, I need to create cash flow, the creative mind says cash flow doesn't exist. So therefore, how can I build something that doesn't exist? And building something that doesn't exist is perfect when it comes to poetry and telling stories and writing books or creating films or whatever. But when it comes to money, you can't have the mindset that money doesn't exist and you need to create it. You've got to think about where is money already flowing? And then take your creativity and get it in the way of where money is already flowing.
Right.
And that's just a different thought process.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect right there. Because again, like I said, money is not flowing in a community.
Yeah.
Right. There are budgets in an industry, and yeah. there are event planners, and there are treasurers and CPAs, and right, to manage the flow, the currency, there's no currency in a community, yep. right? It's the currency in a community is relationships.
Yeah.
Neighbors and hi, good morning. Mm-hmm. All right, you cutting your grass? All right, I'm gonna cut my grass too, just to make sure our grass is even, and I'm gonna rake my leaves so yours don't look crazy, right? Right. You know, and we're not even thinking about money at that at that time. And so you shouldn't in your community. It should just be about, you know, in the community, it's the open mic where we come together and we share. And so you know the open mic is only $5 at the door. You can't get $500. To feature when it's only $5 at the door and not even 100 people are going to be there.
Yeah.
The math, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right. And so these events, these conferences, these campaigns, these commercials, that's where they need you.
Yeah.
You know, and you said poetry saved your life, but what if you showed someone else how it could save their life?
You know what? It is so, man, I love your breakdown so much. And I love the community analogy. I think two of the issues that I think are really important for us to individually reconcile with and then collectively as a community help each other with is, number one, I think there's truth to the concept that money corrupts creativity, but that doesn't mean that we should throw the baby out with the bathwater and then say, okay, well, since I don't want my creativity corrupted, then I'm not going to let money touch my creativity.
I hear it all the time.
And then it becomes like a badge of nobility, right? Like, no, I write my stuff just to change lives, not to make money. And I've done that in different forms, not necessarily, well, I guess with poetry, I've never really tried to do anything financially. That's not entirely true, but I've done it more with other forms and like planted my stake and said, you know what? I'm in business to help people change their lives. And the reality was I wasn't smart in business while I was claiming, you know, and staking my flag on being noble and being a good person. Essentially, that's kind of what it came down to for me. So I think that's one really big piece. And if you take, and there is a middle ground where you can still create with a pure intention to tell the stories and turn your pain into something that's going to help somebody else, and then take that pure creation and find a way to put it into currency.
Yes.
Find a way to now get it into this flow. So I think there is a way to do that. And then the second thing is that just hit me with, I think, that last statement that you made. If we write poems and within the creative or poetic or poetry community, you know, go to open mic nights and share these poems with everything that we have, and everybody's listening and snapping and getting all the juice that's there. I think one of the things that we have to understand is when you take that and you put it into a different community, you're not going to get the same reaction. And so what used to be maybe, you know, let's call it a 10 out of 10 on the applause and response to your poetry because these people really understand poetry. If you take that poetry and tell that story in a different place, in a different community where there is currency and there's budgets and there's all that, you know, what we're talking about, there's like already a business system. Mm-hmm. We as poets can't expect the same result or the same response from the poetry community, but that doesn't mean it's not a good thing. I'll give you an analogy that's a little bit separate. When COVID hit, I had a real internal conflict about doing my live events online because I've always done these events, these 5-day deep dive events in person. And there's no way in my mind that I could see taking these live events and putting them online because there's just too much that you can't do. And then after resisting it for months and months and months, this actually fits both of the things that we're talking about. But the main thing is I stopped asking myself the question, how does my live event or how will, because it was theoretical at that point, how will my live event compare to the online event? In other words, will the online event do what the live event does? And while I'm creating that comparison, the answer is always no. Mm-hmm. The live event is always better than the online event. But then, for whatever reason, I don't remember the catalyst, I stopped asking that question. And because of COVID and because the world was shut down, live events was not an option. I started asking myself the question, how will an online event compare to nothing?
Ooh.
For my community.
Yeah.
And the answer is it's better than nothing. Yes, it's not as good as everything, but it's better than nothing. And so if we take our pure poetic creations and we put them into a community that's not necessarily creative or not necessarily poetic or not necessarily used to going to open mic nights, you're not going to get the same response. But is it a drop in the pool that is better than nothing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is kind of the gradual sort of thinking that's going to help us change our actions, but without the big expectations that are going to create disappointments.
But you know what I found, Sean? I found that a poet in a room full of poets, and I don't like using this word, but a poet in a room full of poets is common.
Yeah.
Not in a negative way, but you just are. If a kangaroo in a room full of kangaroos is common, right? So
I think I know where you're going, man. It's
no huge. Matter how good you are, you might be better than all of the kangaroos in there, right? But you're still a kangaroo in it, right? So I say to say, a poet that steps into a foreign environment where oftentimes, and you would think they've heard it before, but oftentimes these rooms have never heard spoken word before. They've never heard poetry like that before. So to your point, their reaction is different, but their reaction is a little, is a lot more fulfilling.
Yeah.
Right? Because the room full of poets, they're listening for the bars and they're listening for,
yeah.
But those on the outside are like, the whole thing is just like, oh my God, what is this? A one person stage play? What is,
yes.
It's a reaction where we're sending these poets that have not performed in the other rooms before, and they're like they literally have never experienced spoken word before in their lives.
Yeah, that's such an important piece, man. I think that the essence of what you're getting at is novelty.
Yes.
There's no novelty in a room full of poets to hear a poet deliver spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
But take them away and put them in a different place. It's novelty. And what I think is really critical for the creator to understand is novelty is what is the most valuable financially in the business world. Novelty. Yes. So anything that can be different
is
valuable.
We're looking for something different. We've been doing the same stuff over and over again. And where's the difference at? Oh, this is new. This is fresh. And in the poet's mind, like, new, fresh. We've been doing this for
I know, right?
Yeah. But
and your worst poem could be something that blows their mind.
Blows to your their point, mind.
Because, Whereas the poets are like, I wasn't feeling that rhythm, the rhyme scheme, you kind of switched like that. But they're like, oh my, what?
Yes.
Like that it's like the macro focus. They see something so different. You know, I used to always use an analogy back in the day. It was really a leadership analogy, but it means so much more based on what you just said.
Yeah.
And I used to tell people, you know, if you want to, you want to be a leader, you need to be a giraffe in a field of mice.
You gotta
stick out. But the way you just broke that down makes that so much different. Because if you're a giraffe in a field of giraffes, the tallest giraffe is only a little bit more than any of the other giraffes.
Right.
Because the separation, you know, possibility is just so small.
Yeah.
But the smallest giraffe in a field of mice is a god. You know, as a king,
just like,
and I think that's a perfect visual for what you're explaining.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I challenge poets, even if you're going to a different room of poets.
Yeah.
You're different.
Yeah.
Right. So I challenge poets. Hey, go to your aunt's house in another state. Go drive. Go fly somewhere. Stay with her. And go to an open mic. Go to an open mic in that city and just feel the difference.
It's time to create an unforgettable experience at your next event with The Poet Life. by booking a keynote poet. Poets excite your audience with motivating messages, charismatic delivery, colorful rhythm, powerful prose, and heart-filled stories with a style of spoken word that's tailored specifically to your event. The Poet Life has keynote poets in your city of all ages and backgrounds.
Visit thepoetlife.com to learn more and book your poet today.
Yeah, you know what? It just another analogy that's hitting me. If we want to take our art forms and specifically poetry and make it financially viable, what I'm about to say, I almost hesitate because it sounds like I'm diminishing the value, but I'm not. We need to look at the poetry not as the cake, but the icing. Meaning, in the poetry community, the poetry is everything. It's the whole meal, right? Mm-hmm. It's the cake, it's the icing, it's the ice cream, it's everything. But if you go into other business communities, they have cake, but they don't have icing. And so we can take our poetry and be the poetic icing on their dry cake and get paid phenomenally well because you just gave them flavor, flavor that they didn't have.
There it is. Their messaging, their marketing has been dry. They've tapped everything they could think of. And then here you come knocking or sending an email or making phone call saying, I actually wrote a poem in relation to your mission and message.
And what comes so easy to the poetry community is impossible to the business mind.
There you go.
Yeah, I could never do that. And so I think that's another thing is that when we have something that's creative in us, we dismiss how valuable it is to others.
We dismiss it when we're in a room full of the same.
Right.
Because then it becomes even common to us. It's like, it's a little gift that I got, you know what I'm saying? It's just...
And then that adds more pressure because in a room of poets, in order to stand out, I mean, you got to do something that's insane.
You got to do a backflip with a double entendre.
Right. And then that squashes the creativity.
There you
go. Whereas, you know, get in a room of just dry cakes with no icing. And they're like, you can rhyme something with bus? Like what?
But look, not just the poetry, but again, like you said earlier, the creativity.
Yes, the flow.
You simply have a creative mind. Right. So now that you're in there in the name of poetry, you're hearing all of these issues and problems that the client has. And you're like, oh, what if we did this? What if we did that? And they're like, OK, who is this person? Where did this person come from? So this brings me back to the origin of this whole conversation, man. Where have you been? What have you been doing? I've already shared in these past 10 or 11 episodes what I've been doing, building the business and things of that nature. What has Sean Smith been doing?
I've been acting. I've been acting a lot. We talked a little bit before we started recording that evidenced by the beard. I never had a beard. And I needed it for a role. So the short answer is I've been on set, man. For the last 16 months, I think. I think the first set that I got on was maybe 17. It was late August of last summer. And since then, I think I've done like 50 films. I mean, it's insane, man. Because I just put my head down and I got focused on getting on sets. And then I was able to use a lot of my entrepreneurial skills and awarenesses and, you know, and people skills and a lot of stuff to enhance my ability to be creative. And so much of what we're talking about applies to even the you know, the film industry. And so what got me into acting was really my son. You know, I did the film Let's Grow, which is how you and I met several years ago, but that didn't necessarily like light a fire under me to get into acting. I loved everything about it, but that just wasn't my intention at the time. And then recently, a couple of years ago, my son said he wanted to start acting. And it was a real surprise for us because he never did theater. He never performed in any way that we saw. So it was a surprise when he said,
how old is he?
He just turned 18.
Gotcha.
So he was 16 at that time. And we said, I mean, yeah, sure. You know, we'll support you 100%. But in the back of our minds, we're also a little concerned because of how cutthroat the industry can be. And now this is, you know, this is performance and competition at a very high level. But then as I started taking him to acting classes, it started lighting up stuff inside of me. And once they broke down how to do it, this is also a big piece of, you know, what you do for your community. It went from something that was just maybe a someday dream of mine to, oh, these are the steps. Oh, so I create this profile and then I put it up on that website and then I start submitting over there and then I create an Instagram and then I do this. And so they broke down the how to. And that's another thing that the creative mind doesn't do so well at, especially with its own creation, is, you know, build the path, right? And once I got into motion a little bit, then I started getting on sets and my creative spirit and my storytelling and a little bit of poetry. I'll have to share this with you. I had a spoken word put into a feature film just recently. I just got the footage back the other day. I'll share that with you.
Nice.
And it was one of those situations, you know, where we have this film and there's an open mic night and does anybody do spoken word? And I sent him one of my TEDx talks and he's like, done. I mean, come on. When can you get here today? So that creative flow really has helped me, I know, get into these, you know, these auditions or get into, you know, there's a lot of self-tapes that go on in the industry now where we just film it right in front of our computer. But there is a free, you know, there's a liberation to flow. And even though movies are creative, the people that put movies together aren't necessarily, right? The people that are doing the videos and the people that are doing the sound, like there's a lot of mechanical elements to film. And there always has to be mechanical elements for the creativity to do its thing, right? And so they work with each other, just like that yin yang on your wall back there. Mm-hmm. And the more free I can be as a performer, the more the mechanical elements can support. But also, to your point earlier, they can recognize the freeness in the performance. And even if the performance isn't to their taste necessarily, you know, because you can do the same spoken word poem 20 different ways, right? You want to do it as a motivational anthem. You want me to do it as a sad story, whatever. And so you can deliver in different ways. But even if they don't, and this goes directly back to what you said just a few moments ago, even if they don't want that type of delivery, game recognized game, man. Mm-hmm. They know that you can deliver. And so they'll say, okay, we love that. Can you deliver that way? And then the storyteller goes, of course. Right. Yeah, let me right. show you that. Right? Right. You go from motivation to, you know, a tearjerker. But it's all because of this creative flow. And I think part of the context of this conversation is, I don't think I even realized, it's exactly what we're talking about, how valuable from a distinction standpoint and how novel that kind of flow and creativity is, even on movie sets, because in my world, it's all I was doing. So I was in the room full of poets, right? Mm. I was in the creative space. And even though movies are a real, it's creativity you know, at a super high level, I didn't really even understand that as an actor, there's a level of creativity that's liberating. And most actors are just trying to deliver the lines. Most actors are trying to remember the lines, but they're trying to remember them so they don't forget them. And when you try to deliver something coming from a place of fear of forgetting them, you have no freedom in your body. But when you realize, just like our bars in poetry, just like the rhyming, it's not the rhyming, it's not the words, it's not the things that so many people see or think are the most important. It's the flow, and it's the currency. Like you said, it's an energetic currency, and people can get lost in the delivery at such a way that the words don't actually matter. And then when the words don't matter, they really matter. You know, it's just this beautiful combination, but it all starts with, as we talked about, creativity. So I've learned so much, man. I'm going to do an IG post pretty soon about all the lessons that I've learned. And, you know, maybe in future episodes, we can break down some of those things that cross over.
Yep.
Cause it's been a hell of a ride. And I'm lit up like I've not been lit up before. You know, one of the reasons why we haven't done a podcast is that I've been on set, but still building my business at the same time. You know, I still have this coaching business, but I have a different vision for it now. Now my coaching business, which is the one that has driven my income for 20 years, is there to fund this next level of what can I do with my creativity? What can I do? And I want to reach masses. I do want to get into film, because the medium of film, it just can reach different and touch differently than what I've been doing just in the coaching and speaking world. So very similar to what you always say, we need to have a bigger vision beyond just our art form for it to take flight. And that's what I've been doing.
That's beautiful. And you all will understand and know that when Sean and I talk, we, as you can tell, we're jumping right into it, and we're not prolonging anything, because one, Sean is busy, I'm busy, and it's not just about being busy. It is being productive and carving out time to still get the work done. You know what I mean? And, you know, because we could spend hours with these kind of, we love having these conversations, but it's a matter of, all right, cool. So it's 10:30 right now. Cool. We're going to hop off at 11 o'clock, 11:15. Cool. It's 11:12. We got 3 minutes, right? So it is being very intentional, even about your time, not just gift management, but time management. So you can do all the things.
That's a great point, because creativity is messy, man. Creativity, like if you have 3 hours, you can easily fill the 3 hours, but that doesn't mean you are productive for 3 hours.
Busy work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, it's messy. Creativity is messy. Your desk is messy. But if you also spend time on getting organized.
Yes.
Even though you're making a mess and you're cleaning up while you're making a mess,
yes,
you can get a whole lot more done. Because we all say it, I don't have no time. But then you think about how many hours of TV you watch.
Right.
Then you're like, you know what? Now you're coming for me now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
100%.
The average person a week watches the same amount of time of TV that they work their 40 hours at work.
That's wild. I hadn't heard that, but I mean, I totally understand. Yeah.
With 7 days out of the week, people are at least watching 4 hours of TV each.
And I wonder if that even takes into account that study, just screen time in general, because you know, when the light hits or you're waiting for your food or whatever, and we just jump on and we spend a minute here and 30 seconds there. Yeah. If you add all that time up.
For sure. Man,
yeah.
We're binge watching TV. We're binge watching Instagram. We're binge watching YouTube.
Yeah.
And we didn't even talk about TikTok. People literally are living on TikTok.
Seriously, man. Yeah. I got a friend that sends me multiple every single day. I made a decision a few years ago in my business as it relates to YouTube to stop binge watching and start being binge watched.
Ooh.
So I decided in 2017 that I will put so much content out there in the world that somebody will be able to binge watch my channel like Netflix. And several years later, I hear it every day.
To get that feedback about this podcast feels I just binge watched your podcast.
Yeah. And
the knowledge, the passion that goes into it is just mind blowing. That's what they're saying. So
love it,
man. Sean, thank you so much. Everybody, we're going to be recording twice a month. We are again managing our time and managing our gifts. We know we have a chemistry here, but we know we have a lot on our plate, right? And so we have strategically and intentionally said, I think what we can mutually make happen is us recording twice a month. Cool, that'll work.
Yeah.
That'll work. So I'm just glad that we're back in the saddle, man.
Yeah, and that helps because knowing that we got plenty more episodes means we don't have to smash it all into this one.
There you go. Exactly. So these episodes will be roughly 30 to 40 minutes. And so, Sean, thank you so much, man. Thank you for this conversation. I think just in this short amount of time, folks have gotten a lot of value in this here. If you could leave anything with the people, what do you think that would be, bro?
Just to play off your last, just that last comment, dig in. This is to everybody. Dig in and ask specific questions. Mm-hmm. You know, don't ask just theoretical questions. I always tell my people, I don't want you to ask me how to prepare and how to predict. I want you to tell me what you did and then ask me how to assess what you did. So bring us a bunch of poems, bring us a bunch of ideas, tell us you made 15 phone calls and then ask us what you can make from all of that. Ask post action questions and we'll be able to help you more.
Oh, that's so good. Listen, folks, it's the Poet Life Podcast. Listen, if you want more information about the Poet Life, go to thepoetlife.com. But also if you need help, if you need assistance, if you need a community, if you need guidance to learn how to do more with your poetry and or create a career with it, I encourage you, look below. Go to poetrybusinessnetwork.com. We are close to 150 poets aspiring and learning how to become poetry business owners. All right.
Love that.
Right then and there, we are building the poetry industry together, and we would love to have you. All right. Sean, I appreciate you, man. I look forward to seeing you on the screen. Just let us know when and where, and we're sitting there binge watching you, brother. I appreciate you, man.
Beautiful. Appreciate you too.
Talk to you.
Introducing the Poet Life Podcast. Go check it out today on your favorite platforms, including iTunes, Apple Music, and the website, thepoetlife.com.
It's time to create an unforgettable experience at your next event with the Poet Life by booking a keynote poet. Poets excite your audience with motivating messages, charismatic delivery, colorful rhythm, powerful prose, and heart-filled stories with a style of spoken word that's tailored specifically to your event. The Poet Life has keynote poets in your city of all ages and backgrounds.
Visit thepoetlife.com to learn more and book your poet today.